We believe in the Bible. We read the Bible. We study God's Word. We don't know everything about God's Word. We can't put our stamp on everything that we believe and say, this is the way it is, and there's no other way to look at it. We understand that. But we do know that God's Word feeds us and nurtures us. And we are reading God's Word together as a church family, asking that if you would take that journey with us and log on to the internet to the webpage that says Daily Bible Reading, or if you are subscribed to receive that Bible reading as an email, or if you have the printed Bible reading guide with you, whatever way helps you to stay up with the reading, we ask you to read along with us. We're in the midst of the book of 2 Corinthians right now, and we're going to be in 2 Corinthians for 5 Sundays. We're going to be reading passages. We started last Sunday. We've read up through about the beginning of the 5th chapter of this book called 2 Corinthians. And we look today at a portion of our readings out of the 4th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, beginning in verse 7, where it talks about how we should view our lives. It talks about how we should view our relationship with God. I just want to encourage you that if you've haven't been doing this with us, haven't been reading God's Word with us, it's never too late to pick up God's Word and start. It's not that you are beginning late. It's not that you have to catch up with anything. All it means is that you want to know more of what God's will is for your life, and we discover that together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7 and reading through verse 12, has much to say about what we celebrate with a group of high school graduates today. It has much to say about whatever station of life you may find yourself in. Because God's Word says this: "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing value or greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but we're not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life works in you." Paul says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Literally, the Greek New Testament says we have this treasure in objects made of baked clay. Jars of clay. Some have rendered this verse or this phrase in that way. It's very accurate. Earthen vessels. If you ever go to the Holy Land, if you go to Israel, you'll probably come away with one of these. It's very tiny. It's a replica. It's a miniature. But it is a clay pot that was used as a lamp. You have your wick right here. You put the oil in the top and you light it, and it will work as a lamp is supposed to work. The word earthen in the New Testament, ostraca, maybe you've heard that. Ostraca refers to broken pottery, pieces of clay. Most of the archaeological discoveries done in that part of the world, as well as just about anywhere, is going to contain mounds and mounds, pieces upon pieces of broken pottery, jars of clay. But this was the common figure for what Paul refers to here. It could be not only a lamp, but it could have been a jar that you would store something in. It could be tall. It could be short. It could be squatty or compressed. Whatever way you visualize a jar of clay, maybe this will help. But in our way of thinking today, when I think of such an image, this is what helps me right here. This is our jar of clay. Marcy picked this up. I don't know where she got it. She got it somewhere. Oh, I know where she got it. She got it at Canton, I'm sure. That's where she goes to get all of this stuff. But this is a piece of stoneware, pottery. So while this is small, but yet is more realistic, this may help you to visualize what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. He's using figurative language. And he says, we have this treasure in objects made of baked clay. Evidently, the jar of clay, the piece of pottery, the vessel, represents our lives, our body, who we are. We are the jars of clay that contain a treasure. What does Paul mean when he says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in jars of clay, in objects made of baked clay? No doubt the treasure could be described as the presence of God. There's a blank there in the outline that you may want to just fill in. That some people would say what we have here is God's presence in our lives. That is the treasure. Others would expound upon that, and some commentaries will say that the treasure that Paul is talking about is not just the presence of God, but it is the message of salvation. It is the presence of Jesus. They will expand upon that, and all of the above would be true. The treasure that we carry about in our lives is the gift of salvation, the presence of God, the Spirit of God living in you and me. We carry an amazing treasure. I think that it's no mistake that Paul talks about our lives as being jars of clay. We are weak. We are nothing compared to the treasure that we carry in our lives. And he says, my life is simply a jar that contains the presence of God. The emphasis being upon the treasure, not upon the vessel. Maybe there's something to be said there about the message that we preach in our churches and all across our land, because our society, for the most part, is based upon earning things. And our view of Christianity, for many of us, it's nothing more than we want to earn something. Or if we pray and claim something in God's name, then it's going to be given to us. And there are many who simply believe that we can do whatever we want, or we can ask for whatever we want, and God is going to provide it for us. But the picture Paul draws of the Christian life is much different. He says we're jars of clay that hold an incredible treasure. I see a pattern all the way through the Scripture that emphasizes the treasure and not the jar of clay. You go back through and Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a roll call of faithful people. But if you just think through the chronology of God's word, the story of salvation that we find in the Bible, you're going to find a repeated pattern. You look at the man Abraham. That's where it all began, actually, with the children of Israel, the Hebrew nation. We call him Father Abraham. He is the one that God chose to begin this group of people, this nation, eventually which would give birth to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Abraham, why him? Nothing specifically significant about Abraham. He was a jar of clay. He was a vessel. He was simply the one God chose to bring about a great treasure to each one of us. That's Abraham, a jar of clay. You move through and you'll find the man Joseph, who was many years, he lived many years after Abraham, but it was Joseph who God used to rescue the nation, literally. If it hadn't been for Joseph being in his place in Egypt, then the Hebrew nation would have never received the blessings that they did. But who was Joseph? Oh, well, we say a lot about him, and we talk about how heroic his deeds were and how faithful he was. And indeed, he was faithful to God. But the pattern is still this. He was the youngest child in a very large family. He wasn't really picked to be anything spectacular. He was a jar of clay. He was simply a life that God chose to indwell. And the pattern simply repeats itself again, that through this jar of clay, through this one life, God blessed many. You move toward later history in Israel's life. The man Moses, he's the one who led the children of Israel out of slavery. But who was Moses? On the outset, you wouldn't have picked him. I probably wouldn't have picked him. He made some decisions that were very wise in his life, but he also made some that altered the rest of his life. He even went into self-imposed exile to avoid prosecution for his loss of temper when an Egyptian soldier's life was lost there early on. And it wasn't until he was 80 years old that God tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Moses, you're standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes." And Moses did. But it was through a dialogue, almost an argument, Moses against God, before Moses understood that he was a jar of clay. That his life was to be used to carry a treasure. The most valuable treasure, the presence of God. And because of Moses, the children of Israel received the law and received passage, safe passage, though it had some detours along the way to the gateway of the promised land. Moving on down through history, you have David. David, the greatest king over all of Israel. But once again, his story. He was once again the youngest child in a family with older brothers who always picked on him. And when it came time to do the important things, David was always pushed to the side. But yet, God was at work in his life, because you see, David was a jar of clay. And David's life contained a treasure, the presence of God. And God used that jar of clay, the life of David, to do some miraculous, amazing things. The killing of a giant named Goliath. And throughout his life, though he made some missteps, though he made some blunders, David is known not because he's the greatest king of Israel, even though that's mainly what we say about him, but David should be recognized because he was a jar of clay that carried an amazing treasure. After David, you've got Peter, all the way to the New Testament. Peter. No formal training. He was a Jew. He was a fisherman. He had a set of skills that allowed him to make a living. He had a circle of friends, mostly people who did what he did, earned their life as a fisherman. He was a faithful father, perhaps. He was always dedicated to his mother because her house was often used for gathering places. But Peter, he had a temper that often would run away from doing what was best. He would always speak words that were inappropriate. He would always make boisterous claims. He was one of those guys that when he came in, he's just obnoxious. It's the way the scripture paints him, the way it pictures him. But Peter was a jar of clay. And within his life, there was a treasure, the presence of God. Paul the apostle, on the opposite end of the spectrum of Peter. Whereas Peter was not formally trained at all, Paul had all the credentials. He had all of the education. He was raised in the right circles. He was educated by Gamaliel, who was the leading Jewish scholar of his day. Paul was destined to be a rising star in religious and political life. But you know what the Bible says about Paul? The Bible says in Acts 9:15, after Paul was struck blind on the road to Damascus, God is speaking to someone he wanted to help Paul to see the light. And he said, this man Paul is my chosen jar of clay. He's my chosen vessel. My instrument is another word. Same Greek word, but we can define it two or three different ways. And we find that Paul, as he describes himself here in 2 Corinthians 4, he wrote this letter. I am an earthen vessel. I am a jar of clay. And I bear a treasure inside my jar. My life contains a treasure, the presence of God, the Spirit of Christ. You see, moving through those few people, and my goodness, we could have mentioned many more. I didn't mention any of the great women of Scripture. I apologize for not doing that and thinking to be more equal in my treatment. But if you look at Deborah and her life, one of the greatest judges, you look at Ruth, you look at Mary, the very mother of Jesus, each one of these people, each one of these ladies, what were they? Jars of clay. Because you see, all of those lives follow that basic pattern that tells us that the value, you might say the beauty, is not what we are, but it's in what we carry. As a jar of clay, the beauty is in what we hold in our lives. That's the treasure that we should focus on. That is our value. It's not what we are. Far removed from the way we view things. We put people on pedestals. We put personalities up here. If they're wealthy, if they're gifted and talented in certain ways, if they command respect, then we hold them up and we see them as great pieces of value. Whereas in the Scripture, it's always the opposite. Our beauty, our value is in what we carry. Not what we are. Okay, now with that in mind, what are some ways we can build upon the fact that if this is what we are, if this is who we are, if we are vessels, if we are jars of clay, and we carry within our lives the treasure of God's presence, how can that make a difference? If you're just now graduating from high school, headed to college, whatever it is out there in the great unknown, you are a jar of clay. If you're in the workforce, you are a jar of clay. If your main task is raising children, you are a jar of clay. Whatever it is, whatever station of life you're in, if you have finished active work years and you are now in those years called retirement, grandparenting, whatever the case may be, you are a jar of clay. What do we need to grab hold of? What will the Scripture tell us we can do to help live out the fact that our value is in what we carry, not what we are? Well, consider these things. God made you and me the way we are so that we can do the work that He intends for us to do. Listen to it again. God made you and me the way we are so that we can accomplish the work, the task that He has for us to do. What that means then, my friends, is there is no reason, there is no excuse for you to gripe and to complain about who you are. God created you in His image. Now, we are made complete in Christ. I'm not saying that we'd be satisfied just to be the sinful people that we are. Take it up another notch. We are jars of clay who carry a treasure of God's presence in our lives. And when we get to that point and determine how we can best use our lives to glorify God, we need to realize that God created us who we are, as we are. And that we do ourselves a disservice when we look at others and say, I wish I were like that person. God, why didn't you bless me in this way? Folks, the Bible says that God knows everything about us. Psalm 139 tells us that even our genetic makeup, God is aware of. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Paul, in Acts 9:15, we mentioned a moment ago, what was the point? God says, I have prepared this man named Paul to be my chosen vessel, my instrument. It's kind of hard to sit in silence and realize how dissatisfied you are with your life, isn't it? You spend your whole life trying to get better. You spend every moment with every how-to book you can find. You listen to the infomercials and actually believe those people. And you pay them money. Folks, we don't need any more how-to books or infomercials. All we need is the Word of God that convinces us that we are nothing but jars of clay that hold a valuable treasure. But we have been created in the image of God. And we need to be the jar of clay that He's created us to be. Keep this in mind. Not only did God make you and me the way we are, and He is totally capable of using our fragile lives, our jars of clay, to bear the great treasure that He has. But if we're going to be the kind of vessels that God can use, then it's very obvious that we've got to be clean, we've got to be empty, and we have to be available. You see, that's the whole point of when He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay or earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. That's the very point. God has so chosen to take the greatest message of life and put it in our lives. We are the bearers. We are the caretakers of that treasure. And why? Because when people look at us and say, you're nothing but a man, or you're nothing but whatever, you're nothing but a jar of clay, we go, yes, that's exactly the point. Therefore, all of the attention is given to God. We've taken jars of clay and we've bronzed them. We've emblazoned them in gold. We've saturated them with all this worth, whereas we're nothing but a jar of clay. And our fragileness gives glory to God, who is at work in each one of our lives. But how can a vessel be used if it's not clean? How can a vessel be used if it's not empty? How can a life be used if it's not available? Every instance where God uses the figure of speech of this cup or this vessel, and He uses it time and time again, He tells us that we should use our lives to glorify God. We're jars of clay. And then consider this. The focus must be upon the treasure. The focus must be upon what our lives carry. The treasure in jars of clay. The emphasis is upon the treasure, not the jar of clay. Marcy and I are in that great stage of life called being a grandparent. And we had two of our grandchildren with us for a period of time last night. My idea was great. We were going to spend the time keeping them busy by taking them to the yogurt store over there at $24.99. When your stomach just is hurting, nothing settles my stomach like frozen yogurt. It just does. It's the best. And so I thought, if we've got two little granddaughters here, we're going to take them and get them yogurt. Well, we couldn't go. You know why we couldn't go? Because we only have one car seat. Folks, when I was growing up, you know where I'm going with this. I was growing up, I rode from Little Rock to Florida. I had my bed on that backboard in the back of the car, just laying out. We had a station wagon, all three of us. Did we pile in and get all buckled in? Are you kidding me? We had a jungle gym in the back of that station wagon. How many of you, if you're honest, will remember the days when you're driving along and the safety restraint for your children was this? Now, I agree. We've come a long way. And it's good. Because you know what that really means? The fact that we've wised up to keeping our children safe. What are we doing? We're protecting the treasure. We didn't get to go get the yogurt yesterday because we couldn't protect what was most valuable. Folks, if you guard the treasure in your life, you know what? God's going to take care of your jar of clay. Hear me again. If you guard the treasure, if you take care of what's most important, God will take care of your life. That's the whole point of everything Paul said about all the trials he had gone through. Did you hear it? Right after this sentence about being a jar of clay, he says, we're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not despairing. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. As Paul's saying, I'm taking care of the treasure. I'm guarding the treasure in my life. And if I focus on what is most important, then God's going to take care of my jar. He's going to watch over me. You notice that doesn't mean that you're going to get everything you want. Well, if I protect my witness, if I protect the treasure in my life, Lord, then that means you're going to answer every one of my prayers. No, that isn't what Paul said. You're going to give me everything my heart's desire. You're going to answer everything the way I want it to be answered. You're going to give me health and wealth and everything that goes along with it. No, Paul says, I may be persecuted, but God has not abandoned me. Because Paul's focus was on what was inside this jar. And he learned somewhere along the way that if he guarded the treasure, he didn't have to pay too much attention. God was going to take care of his life, and God did. What's the goal? Is the goal just to remind yourself every day that this is what you are, this is who I am? No. Is the goal so that we can do without things? So that we can discipline ourselves for the purpose of discipline? No. The goal is to let others see Jesus in you and me. For people to recognize you and me as simple jars of clay. Vessels that are weak. Vessels that are powerless. And that makes the treasure that we carry, that makes the witness that we bear, that much more significant and inspiring to everyone who watches our lives. Hardest part I have with a passage like this is Paul keeps going back to this idea of, I'm always caring about the body of the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in me. We are delivered over to death constantly for Jesus' sake, for the life of Jesus will be made manifest in your lives. Death works in us, life works in you. What's he mean? Folks, he's talking about the ramifications of guarding the treasure. And letting God use your life. That the sacrifices will be worth it. That the trials, though we may not understand them in their entirety right now, we will see their ultimate purpose one day. That we will understand and know that as we guard the treasure and as we go through the suffering and the pain that guarding that treasure may entail, that God is glorified and that other people are blessed. For you see, we carry a treasure in our jars of clay. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come near to you, to read your word, and to have the opportunity to respond to your message for us. It's in Christ's name we offer our prayer this day. Amen. We offer an invitation this morning, an opportunity for anyone in this room to respond to God's word and God's call upon your life today. It could well be, since we are jars of clay, It might be that you're just now realizing that that treasure that Paul talks about, that treasure, to carry that treasure, is a choice that you must make. I don't know what's in your jar today, but if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you're not carrying the treasure. But God, His will and His purpose is that He fill our lives with His Spirit. And that filling comes by our accepting the death of Jesus on the cross and asking Him to come into our hearts, to forgive our sins, to cleanse us of unrighteousness, and to lead us in life. It's a choice that you make. It's a prayer that you pray. And it's not just a prayer for prayer's sake, but it's an exchange of wills. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. So I would encourage you that if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you have never taken His salvation and made it part of your own, then find the treasure and receive the treasure that you'll carry about in your life from this point on. Maybe you know the Lord. Maybe you've never told the church. Maybe you've never mentioned that you have put your faith in Him. It's time for you to stand up. It's time for you to make that profession of faith. That's what I would call it. Just acknowledging that you have taken Jesus Christ as your Lord. There's strength to be found in coming before a church family and making that proclamation. Maybe you've never been baptized as a believer. Your choice. We don't baptize babies in this church. We dedicate children, but we don't baptize them. There's no belief I find in the Bible. There's no doctrine I find in the Bible that tells me that we must baptize an infant in order to protect them from sin. It's a symbol, but it's a very powerful one. And if you've never asked for that believer's baptism to be done to you, then I would ask you to come forward and request that. Be willing to acknowledge through His symbol, through His command, to be baptized as a believer. We'll find a convenient service and a time to do that. Maybe God would lead you to join our church today. We're all jars of clay, but we bear in our lives the treasure of Jesus. And if you're looking for a place where you can plug in, where you can serve, where you can build on those commitments to Jesus and to His followers and to His world, then I would say you've come to the right place, if it's where you feel God is leading you. So I'd invite you to come in just a moment and move your membership. Join this church. For most of us here it is. This represents my life. It represents your life. If I drop this, it's easily broken. Scads of this stuff has been broken throughout the centuries, and people dig them up and look at them. Broken pieces of pottery. But we understand that right now, as we live, our lives are jars of clay. Are you guarding the treasure? Are you okay with how God is leading you in life? Or do you think He's making one mistake after the next with you? Can't you walk out of this room today knowing that the treasure that you have in your life is enough to see you through? So make your commitment to protect it, to guard it, and trust God to take care of your life. That's our invitation. We stand together. We wait for you here in the front. Ministers and deacons will be ready to help you. Won't you step out? Won't you come forward right now?